We're going to be reading one of the better known parables of Jesus. It's found in recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. If you want to read along with me or follow along as I read it, it's on page 73 of your pew hymnals. The parable is commonly known as the parable of the prodigal son. It's also sometimes referred to as the parable of the younger son and his older brother. Or perhaps more appropriately, it's known as the parable of the loving and gracious father. You know, in looking back over my 25 years or so of ministry, I've preached on this text probably a half dozen times or so. But this morning, I'm going to go about it a little bit differently than the norm, which I'll explain in a moment. But as I read this passage, I invite you to reflect on what home means to you. There's a universal longing for home. Home in the physical sense or in the metaphysical sense. But we all have a longing for home. In fact, we have a name for this longing: homesickness. Why is Homer's The Odyssey, that marvelous tale of Odysseus's 10-year journey to return home, so powerful? When a child says, "I want to go home," or when you find yourself thinking or saying, "I wish I was home," what does that mean to you? What does home mean? From the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, we find this parable. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself and said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never even given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus tells us a story about a father and his sons, a story about a homecoming. It's a universal story about a young person's quest for freedom, the need to spread one's wings to explore. It's the story of a parent's heartache, of holding on and letting go. It's the story of sibling rivalry and jealousies. At times we are the younger son. Other times we're the older brother. And at our best, I suppose, we're the father. We are at once searching for freedom, needing security, squandering our inheritance, asking forgiveness, extending hospitality, harboring jealousies, insisting that life be fair, holding back joy, celebrating grace. And in the end, this story, this parable, is a story of grace, love, and forgiveness in that curious, ambivalent place we called home. I mentioned that we were going to approach this text a bit differently, at least than I have done in the past, and it's because we're going to draw art into our time together. I came across a meditation on a work of art done by none other than Henry Nouwen. Not the art, but the meditation on a work of art done by Henry Nouwen, the author of the Lenten devotional book many of us are using during our journey through Lent. This meditation was adapted by someone named Tom Walsh for his use, and further adapted by someone named Sam Marsh for his use. And today I am adapting it even further for our use this morning. Sean, I think it'll be better if you'll cut off the lights. Just all the way, just everything, yeah. Steve, can you cut off the sun? That would even be better. I think you can see it. Does anybody recognize this painting? It's a painted close to 350 years ago by Rembrandt. You have surely heard of Rembrandt. His own experiences of family life had been hard, and when he painted this, he was an old man living in near poverty. The title of the painting is The Return of the Prodigal Son. Rembrandt, one of the things he always did was use light, and you can see by his use of light here that he pulls in the three primary characters in this parable. The father, who also, of course, stands as God, the younger brother, the prodigal, and the older brother. So let's look at each of them briefly through the brush of Rembrandt. Look at the younger son, the prodigal, kneeling before his father. This is when he has returned home. I have sinned against God and before you. His head is shaved. Had he been in prison? His clothes are the undergarments of the day, and he has no warm cloak. The sandals are worn and broken. His left foot shows sores and is scarred. He has lost all his dignity. His posture speaks of humility, emptiness, and defeat. He has used the God-given gift of free will, which all of us have, to live how he wants to live by the values that he chooses by which to make his decisions. You know, that's one thing about God as our parent. If we choose to break away from God, God lets us go. God places no barrier in our way. Always, God says to us, "You may go if you wish. I may not hold you against your will." If we think we like the world out there away from God, doing those things we cannot do in God's home or shouldn't do, we are always free to leave God's home and go out into the world. But the younger son learned a lesson. Things can get pretty dicey without the Father, without God. But the prodigal did not forget that ultimately he was his father's son. The sword at his side, perhaps you can make it out, is a sign of sonship. It was this valued sonship that persuaded him to turn back. You know, we can at times, can we not, be like this son? We can turn our back on God and lose sight of our identity. We can squander our gifts. We can waste our fortune. We can abuse our position as one of God's children. Think about being one of God's children. Have you wandered away? Do you feel lost? Do you want to be close to God, kneeling with His arms around you, safe and secure? Well, it was at this point of lostness, of being lost, that the younger son came to his senses. He remembered his sonship, although he knew he didn't deserve it. So he returned home. And we can do the same. But what about the elder son, the older brother, the tall figure on the right of the picture who stands watching him, watching? Look at him. He observes the scene from the sidelines. He doesn't show any joy. He doesn't step up into the platform to join in. There's a big space between him and his father. He looks as lost as the younger son. Perhaps you identify with the older brother. Do you work hard and feel unrewarded, taken for granted? Do you desire to be good and virtuous but wonder if it's worth it? If you are an elder child in a family, you might know what it is to want to live up to your parents' expectations, to be considered obedient and dutiful, to want to please and be rewarded for it, to be loved in return. You know, the lostness of the older son is harder to identify because he seemingly did all the right things. Outwardly, he was faithful. Faultless. But now his inward resentment and pride are showing. He is filled with judgment, condemnation, anger. And it is this reality that makes it harder for the older brother to turn to the father than even the younger brother. But the father reminds the older brother. Notice it is the father who takes the initiative, calling out to him, "You are always with me. All that I have is yours." If you identify with the older brother, I hope you can find it somehow in your heart to release your judgment and condemnation so that you can hear God calling you, reminding you of His love and your position as a dearly loved child of our heavenly parent. Let's finish by looking at the father. You know, the danger is to view God as we do our own earthly father. And of course, God is not our earthly father. Here we see a half-blind old man with a mustache and a beard, dressed in a gold embroidered garment and a deep red cloak, laying his large, stiffened hands on the shoulders of his returning son. But Rembrandt also invites us to see in this earthly painting of a father signs of the divine, signs of infinite compassion, unconditional love, everlasting forgiveness, everlasting from a father who is the creator of the universe. We see human and divine here wed together. And look closer, look at my favorite part of this painting. Look at the father's hands. They don't just touch the son, but they cling to him. And what is fascinating, if you look carefully enough and closely enough, you see that the two hands are quite different. They don't even seem like they belong to the same person. The left hand, with its fingers spread out as it touches the son's shoulders, is somewhat strong and muscular looking. Though there is a gentleness, you sense a pressure, a firm grip. However, the right hand does not hold or grasp. It is refined, soft, and tender. It looks as if it is going to gently caress, stroke, or pat the son on the back. It offers consolation and comfort. You might even say It's like a mother's hand. You know, God is not simply a great patriarch. God is mother as well as father. God touches the son with a masculine hand as well as a feminine hand. He holds and she caresses. He confirms and she consoles. God is God indeed, in whom both manhood and womanhood, fatherhood and motherhood are fully present. That gentle, caressing right hand echoes the words of the prophet Isaiah. Can a woman forget her baby at the breast, feel no pity for the child she has borne? Even if these were to forget, I shall not forget you. Look, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. For a moment, try to picture yourself in the son's place. Picture God holding you, being your perfect father and mother, never forgetting you, having your name engraved on the palm of God's hands. Astronomers tell us that the Earth, even when it is farthest away from the sun, is still united to the sun by an invisible bond. This gravitational pull originating in the sun provides life to the earth. In other words, the earth lives its every moment by virtue of the power of the sun, even when it is as far away from the sun as it can get. In a similar way, we live and move and have our being in God. Through every experience, no matter how far away from God we seek to orbit, God still remains our Father, our Mother. When the younger son returned home, he found acceptance, forgiveness, joy, grace, and love. The older brother was already living in that reality. He just needed to be reminded of it. Though we all live east of Eden, our deepest longing is to return to the center of the garden, to that experience of love and security and belonging, that state of being universally desired, home. And while the illusion of peace, prosperity, and happiness continues its stranglehold on so many, my deepest hope and desire for you and for me is that we come to our senses if we need to and allow ourselves to be embraced by our loving, gracious parent. A parent, a God who gives us the gift of free will. And then when and if we use it unwisely, waits for us to return home, and when we get there, throws us a feast. God is watching for you. God is longing for you. God wants to receive you into God's loving embrace. Praise be to God that it is so. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for your love for your children who you created in your image. Thank you for stories like this one that remind us that no matter how far we wander or how tight our hearts may be, you are ready and waiting to embrace us in your everlasting arms. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.